He is back, and I'm excited because he's got a message about the future of Hillside. Why don't we welcome him, Pastor Kerry?
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Craig. Bless you.
Well, this morning's message is going to be on looking forward. I did call it You and Hillside's Future, and I thought, what are you doing, Lord? And then Pastor Craig came to me and said, oh, we're going to be looking forward in August, not June, but in August, and we're going to have a lot of fun with our young adults. We're going to have 2 weeks of our young adults, and then we've got Stacey Coward, our youth, speaking to us. So I want to show you what God is doing in our younger generations, and it's so exciting. But having started the month off with Pastor Fred, and happy 86th birthday, Pastor Fred, today. So you don't look that old, mate. Hey? It's that wife of yours keeps you young. I tell ya. Anyway, happy birthday, Pastor Fred. Anyway, started the month off with sharing with us Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And you know when people preach, sometimes if you're listening, but you read on as they speak. And Philippians is an amazing book. It really is. And I'm going to be speaking a bit about that today. But then we had Pastor Kyla talking about the new wineskins, okay, which was a great message. Then Dr. Richard is... brought that message last week of God is always working, and what a great message it was, and what a great few weeks it's been. We have been really blessed as a church. Well, as I said, I was praying on what God wanted me to finish up on, and he drew my attention to the following verses, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14. Okay, if you haven't got your Bibles or your iPhones or anything else, look to the screen. Okay, it says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, what a great passage of Scripture. This has become, in the last week, my favourite passage of Scripture. Have I told you recently? I love who? I do. I love Jesus. Have I told you? I'll tell you again. I love Jesus. Amen. Who loves Jesus? Well, I love it. Absolutely brilliant. But haven't we heard this passage of Scripture so many times? And I'll get back to the Scripture later. But Jonathan Swift, who wrote Gulliver's Travels, everyone remember Gulliver's Travels? This book is actually rated one of the top 10 books ever. And it was written in 1726. Okay, one of the best novels of all time. He had an unusual greeting to others. He said, may you live every day of your life. May you live every day of your life. Now, as you look back over the last 12 months or 2 or 3 years, how many days did you really live life at your best? Last week. How many days last week did you live your life at your best? You know, last month, you know, I had my wisdom teeth out and I looked like a little bit like a chipmunk. But I'm going to tell you, I'm the worst patient in history. I am. When I have man flu, I have man flu. And just for those who don't know, understand, women, listen to this. Men have man flu, and there is such a thing because the flu attacks the muscle and men have more muscle. That's why we're always so sick. But anyway, I sat in the chair at home. I came out of the hospital wearing tracky pants, a t-shirt and a jumper and jocks and socks and Ugg boots. And I sat in that chair for 3 whole days. No shower, just sitting upright like that. Because I had to sit upright. He went lie down, and it was amazing, wasn't it, hun? It was gross. It was gross. That's why I slept in the chair. I didn't go to my marriage bed. I've just lost where I'm at now. But I thought, wow, I've just wasted 3 days of my life. Not only was I wasting 3 days of my life, I wasted it watching Netflix. What's wrong with Netflix? But don't we have days like that? Don't we have days like that where we just think, oh my goodness, I've just wasted a whole day. I have just done nothing and I've just, living life at its best. You know, the Apostle Paul strived to do that. And certainly no man in history had a better excuse of being miserable in life. He went about doing good, yet worse sort of things constantly was happening to him. Like he was arrested falsely many times. He was beaten unjustly. He was thrown into prison. He was shipwrecked. He often went without food. He was afflicted with illness. Yet Paul seemed to live every day at its fullest. Most of us, if not all of us, are conscious of the fact that we are not living every day to its fullest. You know, it's funny. I usually go out to people and say, "How you going, mate?" And they go, "Great." And I know they're not. How many times have you said that to someone? "Great, good, yeah, good, mate." When things aren't as good. Behind our masks, some of us aren't being truthful as we know it to be so. We know that there has to be a better way than the way we are going. And Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And look, he does. He is the biggest destroyer. And he's out to destroy families. And he's out to destroy relationships. But Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Is life abundant to you? Let's check again with what Paul says in Philippians 3:12. Now keep this in mind as we look at these verses. Paul is in prison, once again, after being falsely accused. But he's about to reveal to us a secret to live life to its fullest, even when it's falling apart. Now let's get back to that passage. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. I'll read it again. "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, there are three groups of people here this morning listening to me as I share. And you fit into one of these categories. Number one in your outline is satisfied. Satisfied. If you're resting on your own achievements and saying, "Yep, I'm okay, I've arrived and I'm satisfied with my life. I have everything in place. I have my house, my home, my family, my car, my job. I am happy and I am satisfied." Well, if that is the case for you, then there is not much ahead for you for tomorrow. You have already arrived. What have you got to look forward to tomorrow if you are satisfied? There are also people who are, number two, dissatisfied. Maybe you're dissatisfied with yourself. Maybe you're dissatisfied with others. Maybe life circumstances. Maybe you're a bitter and twisted person. Maybe that everything comes out of your mouth seems to be negative. Maybe you're picking on something all the time. In such a condition, tomorrow doesn't hold much for you. Why? Because you will be taking that dissatisfied attitude today into tomorrow. And we all know people like that, don't we? The naysayers. The people that have always got something critical to say about something or someone. We have a lot of them in church, unfortunately. But I believe God wants to do something today. If that's who you are, if the Holy Spirit is saying, hello, then that can be broken today off you. Amen? Repent. Well, number three, unsatisfied. Paul puts himself in this category, and I hope that's where most of us are here this morning, or will be. It's a condition where we believe that there is more to life than what we're getting out of it right now, and where we realize that there is more that we can do in life. It's where we realize that we're not yet finished. Therefore, tomorrow has much more for in store for us. We've just had two of our retired pastors, okay, minister to us last month. Pastor Fred in his 86th year. They aren't thinking, he's not thinking, oh, well, that's it. They're just as still passionate today as they were yesterday about preaching the good news to anyone who needs to hear it. Go and shout them a cup of coffee and cake after today's service and sit down with them and ask him. It's shortbread. It's right there. I don't think Pastor Craig would be happy if I went down there and you're watching, he's over there. I thought he was out of the house. Oh, that's all right then, that's all right. Paul says, I have not arrived. Then he says, but one thing I do. You know, we tend to miss this in this passage. We tend to go, oh, but one thing I do, blah, 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 blah. But let's look at this. But one thing I do. Let me rephrase that last statement. Put it this way. I've pulled together all my thoughts and all my goals and all my purposes and shaped them into one single goal, a single purpose. Have any of you worked through Rick Warren's the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? Yeah? If you're part of this church for about 15 years, we actually did this as a church about 15 years ago. Now, Rick Warren, he lays out five specific purposes for each individual life, and I won't go over those purposes. I just want to point out that we all need to center in on what our purpose is. We have a tendency to fragment ourselves, having dozens of targets in life. You know, you've heard it said, you've had too many irons in the fire. You've got too many irons in the fire. Yeah, you've heard that. I reckon that's a load of baloney. It should be the other way around. We have one iron in too many fires. We go from here to there to there to there, and it doesn't allow the iron to get really hot. So we just, out of the other one into the, we don't get to do something really, really good. We jump around. So you only have one life. One day, one hour, yet you are trying to put your iron into too many places. You know, we have to decide where we're going to put our lives, decide what our goal and our purpose is going to be. Paul said, one thing I do. You know, I'm no hunter. I'm just going to put it out. I am no hunter, okay? Although I've done some shooting in my time, I mean, the first time I saw anything being shot was we were driving in New Zealand, and I was only a little kid then, and my mate's father, he was driving this big Cadillac. I always remember he used to own Tip Top. He owned Tip Top in New Zealand, and I was in the back of the car and always smelt of cigar smell. I actually used to love it. I still remember it was maroon inside and everything. But I remember one day we were driving up his driveway, and he suddenly slammed on the brakes, jumped out of the car, popped the boot open, pulled out this rifle. And I'm going, what is he doing? And he took aim and boom, and he shot a rabbit. And I cried and I cried. He grabbed it, he threw the rabbit in the boot and says, oh, we're going to eat this. And I cried. I remember crying. But same guy, same family. I think my father must have said, you know, this is good for you, son. We went duck hunting. And, hey, a lot of you guys are going, oh, that's terrible. If I had fishing up there and I'd show you a whole row of fish, you go, oh, that's good, yeah. But it's duck hunting. But anyway, I hate duck hunting too, okay? And I remember I was going with my mate and the father, I was only about seven, and he gave me a shotgun. And I was only little than what I am now. So I'm just down here. And I still remember that day. I had this shotgun, and his dad had a rifle. And I remember shooting the shotgun at a flock of ducks. He went like this. He went, wah, wah, like that. And a whole bunch of ducks went, probably about 40 of them, went like that. And the father said, shoot, shoot. And I'm going, oh, I don't want to shoot any ducks, you know. And then I shot. And a shotgun, if you know what shotgun pellets go. And there was 40 ducks. Not one got hit. I ended up on my backside. But I remember looking up, and I remember the father. He had a little rifle, and he was going, pachum, pachum, pachum. And each pow, a duck would fall. Oh. I never really thought about it until last week when Pastor Richard said, God is always working. And I thought, wow. But that's true to us in life. We can blast away at everything else. But God wants us to take aim one thing at a time. Yeah? Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that story in just to let people know that I'm not a... I don't like... Actually, let's just take a moment and pray for El Paso, Texas. People may not know, there's just been a mass shooting where 20 people have just been shot for all the name of racism. So Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we lift up, Lord, the United States. We lift up Texas, and we lift up the people of El Paso. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as they woke up and went into the shopping centre, Lord, they never knew that their time was up. So, Lord, we lift up each family that's represented in these shootings, and we just pray, Lord, a blessing. Lord, we lift up the church in El Paso right now, and we just pray, Lord, build them up, strengthen them up, Lord, to love the community. Lord, we lift up the whole community right now, and we just ask that you blanket your love and protection and care upon them right now. Lord, we lift up the perpetrator, this young 20-year-old man. Lord, we speak life into him. Lord, we speak, Lord, salvation into him. We speak repentance into him. And Lord, we ask that you break off any bitterness and untruth that the enemy has put in that mind. Let me just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen again to Philippians 3:13-14. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, I'd like to reduce that passage to six little words or three couplets, okay? Let's go through them. Number one, is forget yesterday. Now, this is from the Lord. I believe this word to this morning is from the Lord. Forget yesterday. Everyone say, forget yesterday. Forgetting what is behind, now that is a hard thing to do for some, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a very hard thing to do for some. Life is less than what it can be if we keep carrying around all of the yesterdays. They burden us down. Paul says we are to forget. Paul's not saying to erase the past from our minds. He's not saying that. He's saying forget. Look at verses 4 and 7. He says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. You see, Paul was recalling some of the things in his past life. He hadn't erased them from his mind. No. He was, however, making a conscious refusal to let all that stuff absorb his attention and impede his progress. This year, Hillside Church celebrates 83 years. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Celebrate what God is doing and then move on with God. Party today and work tomorrow. The past is not a place to stop, but a place to build upon. Paul did not let his failures or successes obstruct his present running of God's race for him. He could not change the past, and you cannot change the past. But he could change the meaning of the past, and you can change the meaning of the past. And that is the same for all of us. Forget it. Move on. You can't change the past. There are people here or listening to this that are still angry of the past. They're still bitter of the past over things that have happened. They've taken offense of the past. You might have lost a job or you might have lost a marriage or something like that. You're still bitter and entwined and you're carrying all that bitterness and rubbish and into the next relationship or into the future. Stop it. Forget it. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race, people, is now. You're in the race right now. It's time to take off the weights and the sweatsuit. You know, we're so into ourselves at the moment, aren't we? Where there's CrossFit and Ninja and, you know, I'm really looking at that show and I'm thinking, gee, I could do that not. But, you know, I want to jump on the, do all those things. Time to take off the weights and the sweatsuit. It's time to run our best. Listen to this. We run the race better because of the weights. Because of the practice, because of the sweatsuits, because of the hard times that we've had in the past. As you face new days. We run a good race because of all that stuff, but we're to as you face new days, as this church faces another year, a new leg of the race, it's time to leave something at the starting line. For instance, past victories. Oh, I remember when we did this. Oh, I remember when we did this. I remember when this was happening. And oh, blah, 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 blah. It's great. It's great to remember those things, but leave it at the, it's behind us. Past failures, friction between members of the church. Some of you might have been offended and might have come to this church and you might have left another church in the hills because of them. Because of them. They offended me. I'm never going to step foot back in that church again. or even past pastors you might have an offence towards. Hurt feelings, etc., etc., etc. Hillside in the past has had a couple, if not a few, church splits because of things and attacks from the enemy. You know, if I looked at all these splits as if they didn't happen, then there would have been very little for God could have accomplished through our church. We may, in fact, have begun to die. We learn from these things. Remember, Dr. Richard Roy last week says God is always working regardless. Other things about our past failures could be seen as critical spirits, gossip, unfaithfulness. You know, the Absalom spirit is alive and well. Do not be entertained by this. You know, over the last couple of years, this church has been under an attack by the Jezebel spirit. We've had a few people come into this place and try and rip this place apart, starting with me and my family and then other people in this congregation. But God is such a good God that when we look to Him, seek Him first, He will reveal all these things and He will make us very discernful. Even like an Absalom spirit. Do not entertain an Absalom spirit. If you hear someone bagging out the church or bagging out what God's doing here, bagging out the flowers, oh, the flowers look beautiful. I'm not going to bag these flowers out. How dare I bag these flowers out? But someone just might say to someone, oh, those flowers this morning, they're horrible. They're big and little, but they didn't suit. You know, stop them. Or they might say, oh, the worship, oh, I didn't know the worship, blah, blah, blah. Stop it. And I mean it. You've got to stop it. Because the Absalom spirit will rip through a church. And if you dare entertain it, it'll take hold of you. And then all of a sudden you'll be starting to be negative and you'll start to bag whatever thing and you'll start to disbelieve in the church and you'll start to disbelieve in the pastor and you'll start to disbelieve in your brother and sister in Christ. And then all of a sudden you find yourself out there into another church and doing exactly the same thing in another church. Stop it. I'm sorry, but stop it. All of this has gone on is to help us run today's race, not to weigh us down. We actually learn a lot through these things. Forgetting what is behind, building on them, but not carrying them on with us. Some of us got to let things go. Only Jesus can enable us to let go of our past victories and our past failures in order to get on with the race for today. The race is not... The race is not run looking back, but looking forward. Too many runners have lost their race by looking backwards. Forget yesterday, people. Forget it. Number two, live today. Everyone say, live today. Paul says that he tries as hard as he can, straining forward. Suppose a doctor says to you that you've got 6 months to live. Some of us have had those things spoken over us. Or a week to live. Or one day to live. How would you live today? How would you live today if you got told that? I'm sure you'd be busy doing something like praying, like writing letters, praying, making phone calls, praying, visiting people, praying, thanking and praising people, praying, confessing, praying, repenting, praying, witnessing. I think you know what I'm trying to say. But there's one thing. Here's the thing. God only gives us today. That's his promise. Not one of us is promised tomorrow. Not one of us. Those 20 people in El Paso walked into that shopping centre not knowing that that was their last day on earth. There's no tomorrow for them. Yet we often assume that there will be plenty of tomorrows when we're all assured of is today. Something to think about. This is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, be glad in it and live today. This is the day. You know that song, This is the Day, the old song? Some people cringe at that old song. You know, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. You know, we sang that at our wedding. That was my choice. I get the aw, and then I get the laughter. But you know what? The funny thing was is that I tried to be very spiritual in front of the pastor, and he says, well, what songs would you like to be sung? And I thought, I didn't know one song. This is the day? Is that right? And Sally just cringed. She just went, oh, my goodness. And we sang that with all our friends going, what have you done, Kerry? But I look back at that song, and there's truth in it. And, you know, that day was one of the best days of my life. And that day I did rejoice in it. And I was glad in it. And I still am. No, I was getting brownie points. Today is a gift from God who loves you. Live it to the fullest. Live it to the fullest. Live today where you are. Do not try and say if things were different or what if, all those hypothetical things. Do not be an ifer. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am not an ifer. I'm not an ifer. What we should be saying to one another is, this is the day God has given to me. This is the place where the Lord has put me, and I'm going to live today where I am. You are not responsible to live anyone else's life but your own. Live today with purpose. You know Yogi Bear? Who likes Yogi Bear? Isn't he great? He had a great saying. He said, hey, boo-boo, if you don't know where you're going, you're likely to end up someplace else. Hey. If you don't know where you're going, you're likely to end up someplace else. I've got a true story here by Harry Fosdyke. Mr. and Mrs. Walker attended a lighthouse in Robins Reef in New York Harbor, and there's a picture of it here. After he died, she tended the lighthouse for another 32 years. As she prepared to retire, a reporter came out to interview her. She said that when her husband came down with pneumonia, several people came out to take him to the mainland hospital. That's where they lived, isn't that? Took him to the mainland hospital while she tended the light. Several days later, the boat came out and she knew the news. Her husband had died. They buried him on the hill, which you can see, the hill over there. On the hill on Robins Reef while she tended the light. For 32 years, Mrs. Walker, would look out onto that hill and hear her husband say to her what he had told her many times before he died. He said, watch the light, Mary. Watch the light. And so that is what she did for 32 years. People, in our lives, there is a hill out yonder. We sing about it. It's where Jesus died on the cross for our sins, our rebellion, and our lawlessness. He calls us out to tend the light each day, to live for him. And that is what Paul is saying here. He says, wherever I am, whatever circumstances are set before me, I have this great overriding purpose and goal. Philippians 3:13-14, but one thing I do, forget what is behind and straining to what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, only Jesus can give your life purpose. He is the one who created you from the womb of your mother. He is the one who birthed this church 83 years ago. As individuals and as a church, we will only find purpose in him, living for Christ. Not desiring to be someone else or to be somewhere else, but to be content where God has placed us, but not content with standing still. So we've had forget yesterday, live today, and number three, trust tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that so true? Instead of worrying about tomorrow, we need to trust tomorrow. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, firstly, we need to trust tomorrow to what God can do through us today. There are some things that we can do today that will help us fulfill that God wants us to do tomorrow as a church and for your own family. For instance, a student can study today. Listen to year 12 students. A student can study today for tomorrow's test. If he doesn't, then he will fail. Yeah? Hello? A salesman makes calls to cultivate customers today in order to get the commission tomorrow. If they don't work today, not much income will come tomorrow. If I don't study God's word today, then you ain't going to get a preach from me tomorrow. To be the Christian God has called you to be tomorrow means that we are on our knees. You are in his word and you're living obediently today. And that's what not a lot of us are doing. And I believe God is saying, hey, church, wake up. I'm doing amazing things and you're choosing not to get involved. To be in good health tomorrow means exercising, eating right, sleeping right, taking care of your body today. Seeing this church, God's church, grow tomorrow will mean your time, will mean your effort, will mean your faithfulness, will mean your generosity and your prayers today. You know, back in the day, I used to own a nursery, a plant nursery. That's actually where I met Sally. She's a horticulturalist. And I remember a businessman friend of mine wanted me to design and sell him some plants for the garden that he could go away and not do anything in the garden. It'd be like saying, I want to grow plants and beautiful flowers like this to make arrangements for church, but I don't want to do anything about it. You know what I said to him? I said, if there's no gardener, there is no garden. I mean, I work tirelessly every day, 7 days a week in this nursery just to keep these plants alive. How can I come up with an idea? If I can come up with an idea, I'd be a millionaire that I didn't have to tender a garden to have a garden. Friends, there is no labor-saving devices for growing any garden, especially for our spiritual lives. We cannot just walk as a Christian and think, oh, we don't need to pray, we don't need to read God's word, we don't need to be involved in a church, we don't need to do that, to live a life for Christ. It's rubbish. It's a lie. Becoming a person or a church of spiritual fruitfulness requires time, it requires attention, and it requires care. God has brought Hillside a long way in these years, only to take you further and ask further. Amen? How much further depends on our actions today. We're determining our future right now. So first things we do about tomorrow that we can do today. If you want something in the future, then work on it today, not tomorrow. Secondly, we need to trust tomorrow to God's to do things that we can't do. God is in tomorrow and we can trust that he will take care of that important time for us. The same God who has seen you through and blessed us the last 83 years as a church is the same God who is out there paving the way for better things. God is working. He is creating new wineskins for each and every one of us. You've heard the athletes swimming to certain channels across the globe, you know, and there's a lot of fog and they give up only to know that it was only meters in front of them, the finish line. Verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you keep your eyes upon Jesus, trust him for the extra meters, trust him for your future, trust him for the future of Hillside. If you'll do that, be excited. If you'll be excited every day about what you will do and he will do in your life. I heard it said many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow and I know who holds my hand. God is in our future. He can lead us toward that prize that waits us. You've heard it said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Actually, Salome said that just the other week. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's true, you haven't. Trust tomorrow. It's worth our investment today. It's worth putting up the master's hands. Can I have the music team, please? I'm not into recipe theology, but this morning I've given you a formula. To enjoying and getting most out of each day. And as your pastor, I need to tell you how to do that. I need to preach to you. I need to teach you. I need to love on you. I need to care for you enough to be able to give you this message today. You know, there's some things that I said this morning that may be really hard for some people. I make no apologies for what I said this morning because I believe God has given me this message for each and every one of us, not to condemn, but to convict, to bring joy so we can break off the stuff in our lives that's holding us back. It's nuts. The enemy has got such a hold on us at times. You know, I took my son to watch a movie last night, Fast and Furious, and there was The Rock. You know, he's a small dude, isn't he? Man, he's busting out everywhere. He's big bloke. And I thought to myself, you know, God, I want to be a rock. For you. Then it takes me back to David fighting the giant. You know, I know my son's going, oh, gee, he's big, isn't he, Dad? And I was thinking, yeah, I could take him down, son. You know, he's 17 now, but if he was 12, he'd probably look up at me and go, yeah, I bet you could, Dad. The simple formula is forget yesterday, build on it, and build from it. Live today where you are and giving all you have. Trust tomorrow because God is there. God is with us. What way to start our 84th year at Hillside and in a church, a new chapter in your own life. Now, some of us need to start this new day by trusting Jesus with our lives, the one who will forgive us of our past actions if we repent of them. Repentance, people. God is calling us to repent. You know, the one who will give us purpose to us today, and the one who will give us hope for tomorrow. You know, some of us need to get in the race and some of us need to get back into the race. You know, all those hurts and all those things that you've experienced in the past, put them behind you, forget them, build on them. Because God was always working in them. But move forward. Don't let them be a noose around your neck. You know, some of us have been in the grandstands too long, spectating. It's actually a dangerous place to be. You know, I've been to the footy. This afternoon, I'm going to be watching West Coast Eagles and Carlton. I'll be in the grandstand. But I'm not going to be one of these people. I mean, you know, the Dockers, they're shocking. Well, they did. They did well, yeah. Gave someone to be happy about. But, I mean, have you ever been to a game and you've heard someone go, "Oh, you idiots! Yeah, you always do that. Oh, I can't believe I go for you!" And they spend $2,000 a year on membership fees, you know, getting a seat. But we've got people like that in the church that will sit in the pews and go, "Oh, the pastor, worship team, the kids' church, the flowers." Time to grow up. It's up to us to shut that down too. Now's the time to get involved in a great and exciting life. God is counting on you and counting on us all. My parting question to each and every one of you this morning is, will you join me? Will you join the leadership of Hillside? Will you join the members of Hillside? And will you join the race that the Lord has for His church, Hillside Church? And if you're visiting here today from another church, will you do that for your church, for God's church? Because we're all one church. God has done some amazing things here at Hillside over the last 83 years. It's been amazing. It's been unbelievable. It's been miraculous. I had two guys come to me this week from over east, the wise men from the east. And they run a big conference every year, CMA conference. And I invited them out here for breakfast and I showed them around. And they said, "Wow, how big's your church?" I said, "Oh, about 200 people." And they went, No, that's wrong. Yeah, we've got $56 million worth of assets and da 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 da. No way! It doesn't compute. I said, "No, it doesn't, and it shouldn't, because God's in it. God's in it. It's miraculous. It's unbelievable what God has done in this place. Incredible. It's been a blessing to be part of what the Lord has equipped us to do in this community. You know, I look forward every day to what He's going to do through us and with us and for us. Amen. We give Him the glory, only Him, what He has achieved. Bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father. Actually, let's worship. Heavenly Father, we just want to worship You right now. Let's worship Him. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I'll finish off in prayer in a minute. Worship You, Lord. Just worship You, Lord. Hallelujah.